So we're continuing from yesterday. So, I guess the question was, the first thing is about this Machlokas Rashi and Tosos about dried out. What's the problem if it's dried out? Right? By the way, the Tosos says that it's really learned out. The Gemara explains it's because it's compared to Esrog, where it says Hadar, right? That's what Tosos' question was. So I was trying to look around where the Gemara is. So it's really right here. It's our Gemara, I think. It says right at the beginning. Kapasuk v'tami, lo shiyant of rishon, lo shiyant of sheni. So that just means, these psulim, it doesn't say anything, whether it's yant of rishon, yant of sheni. It's pasul on both. Vishlami yavesh, ayinsin yavesh, hadar v'inan v'laka. Because it has to be hadar. And it's not. So you see right there, it's saying because it's hadar. So yavesh is possible because it's not hadar. You need hadar. Right? So that's hadar. Here's hadar. So it's talking about, right? Whereas hadar isn't zekeh van vayo. Hadar is hadar. It's a quote. You know? So, I mean, that's those kasha. I mean, the Gemara openly says against Rashi, what's Rashi talking about? You know that it says van vayo. Right? Yeah, I mean, it's a brisa. It's the Gemara's Kuflam and Gelman based on Shabbos. It says, Zekir Mabeyo. It's not elephant of the mitzvahs. You should be adorning yourself in before God with mitzvahs. Asay lefan of sukkah na'eh. You should make a beautiful sukkah, a lulav na'eh, and beautiful lulav, a shofar na'eh, and beautiful shofar, tzitzis na'eh, beautiful tzitzis, sefer Torah na'eh, the kasav alashmo, b'diyo na'eh, you should have a beautiful ink, the kulmas na'eh, and a beautiful feather, the lavlar uman, an expert scribe, the karcha b'shirayin on, you should put on beautiful, like, very nice cloths on top of it. Right? So you see the idea of the kemavehu is an all mitzvahs. It's a generic idea. Right? There's a Rambam also. Can you pass the, there's the one line around there? Right there? Okay, go on. Yeah, so that's the problem. It's a zekim aveyu. I mean, it's a generic halacha. It applies. It's all over, but it applies a lot of places. But that's, I guess, it's kasha. Why are you saying that? Why not say tada? Okay, and in fact, then he proves that zekim aveyu, see, in fact, does apply by lula when it comes to making a bundle, making a nice bundle, aguda. But you see, it's not makif. So if you want to tell me that Zechariah does apply by lulav, and that's what it's talking about, so then here, why is it possible? It shouldn't be possible. So I'll tell you why, because this is Zechariah, and that's not Ma'akev, and this is Hadar, and that is Ma'akev. But according to you, they're both Zechariah, so then this is why it's going to be Ma'akev, it's not Ma'akev. Right? Anyone else who care to answer that? I mean, I think that's a question we should ask ourselves, a basic question. I mean, we're saying good stuff, but... Well, just without the basic question, what is the difference? Who cares? Like, you could say, who cares? Well, learn from this, learn from that. Is there any difference? What is the difference, definitively, between saying it's a din of Priyat Hadar, or it's because Zekeh Levan Vayu? Like, what's the difference between Priyat Hadar and the institution of Zekeh Levan Vayu, which we sometimes call Hidur Mitzvah? I mean, what is the difference between them? They sound almost the same. So if we had to define the difference categorically, what's the difference in those two halachas? This is my God. I mean, I think we're saying good so far in Hidur. Hidur means, the Hadar, Priyat Hadar, is, I think we're all saying pretty good, is that it means the Chafza, the definition of the Chafza, Shel Esrog, is a beautiful object. A Lulav is a beautiful object. It's like part of the identity. It's not a shofar, it's not a beautiful shofar, a shofar is a shofar. Part of the identity of this object, of an Esrog, is a beautiful Esrog. Right, beautiful. The part of the identity of the definition of the object. That's kind of how Tosis is learning. Right, definition of the chafza. But then that's the idea of Hadar. But what's the idea of Zekeh Levan Vayu? So it says Zekeh Levan Vayu. This is my God, and I will adorn Him. What does that mean? Because I'll explain. It's not elephant of the mitzvahs. You should be adorned before Him. You're doing a mitzvah. So if you had, how would you define that? What's that a din in? Okay, good. Okay, that's a din in the Gavra. That when he in his asiyas on mitzvahs, he does it in a derech noi. Right? He's Snailafana mitzvahs. You should adorn before God in doing of your mitzvahs. So it means when you do the mitzvahs, right, those mitzvahs should be something which is important to you. And your asiyas mitzvahs should reflect that importance. And the way that expresses itself is that you do it in the derech of the beautiful. So even though it's through the object, practically it's an object which you're using, but it's really a din of the gavra, he's misnah l'fan of a mitzvah. That he is a person has an emotion of noy, of beauty, he expresses that in these areas. Okay, so he gets a good scribe, or he gets the way he does his mitzvahs is with in a manner of beauty. Okay, in fact, 1 second. Right, like kol, like shofar noy. I assume shofar noy means it makes a good music. I assume. You know, the idea is like the way you do the mitzvahs. It's in the gavra. This is my gun, I will adorn it. So it's like the person should have his desire to adorn things should be directed towards God, towards his recognition of God. So he should do it, and in the sphere of mitzvahs is where he should express that. So it's interesting. I mean, it could be the same thing. You get a beautiful lesser, or a beautiful lulav, but in one of them you could say that's a din in the chafza, that's the definition of what a chafza shel lulav is. Another way you could say it's a din in the gavra, that he is misna'i lefanav with mitzvahs. That he is adorning his mitzvahs. Not that the object is better, but his asiyas mitzvahs is better, because he's doing it in a manner which expresses his value of it, in a manner of beauty. But I mean, even the limud, this is my God and I will adorn him. It's talking about a person, it's a person talking. It's what a person should say. A person who recognizes God should say that. So it's an expressive, a certain type of a gavra. So the way he does it is through chafzos, or through mitzvos, but it's the kiyum, is the kiyum of the gavra. Okay? So that's what Rashi's holding. Rashi doesn't, it could be like what Matt's saying is true, is that Rashi says, it's funny to tell me that this chafza shal mitzvah is a beautiful chafza. It's a funny definition of a chafza. A chafza is a lulav. A chafza is an esrog. A chafza is what's the chafza? So rather, the idea of the reason why it's possible is the elevation is not because it's not the object that lulav is a lulav, but it's because you're not doing noi. You're not doing ran vayu. You're not expressing either mitzvah. You're not doing the mitzvah in the manner of yidur. Okay? But the problem is that's the wise amakiv. Because if you say it's not the right chafza, I understand that. That's ma'akev. It's not the right chafza. But if you tell me it's the din of the gavra is expressing his beauty, so why is that ma'akev? But not intrinsically. Those are the kasha. It's more not like, I wonder why that's ma'akev. He says, look, you see, it's not ma'akev because it's Yibayil Eged. Eged is an idea that you should do it in a beautiful way, but that's not ma'akev. Right, so why is it that when you're saying it's dried out and it's not Hidur, that is that ma'akev? Right, and also the problem is that it's from Priya's other. Seems like that's the limud. See, apparently Tosis is willing to let it slide. That in general you don't say noy is a ma'akev. Right? He says lo pasleimav elachachila v'lo mitzvah hachikin demuch perakama demri lulav lagdo demavei lag the kosher. Right? So what do you mean? Why does he need to bring that to teach you that? I mean, isn't that a universal thing? I mean, whoever heard of Hidur, which is, so he's bringing like Akasha. But he's not saying, what do you mean? I never thought of Ezekiel Mavei, which is Ma'akev. Right? I mean, like, is it just accidental that he's bringing it up over here, like a case which happens to be Lulav? You know, so what's the answer to that? What would he say to that? That question is, whoever heard of Ezekiel Mavei being Ma'akev? Right, why is that? Why is he not asking that? And also, the question is that the Gemara says Hadar. I think someone even said it before. So someone said it before. Maybe it was Matt. I can't remember. But you'd say that the you were saying also that the Priyat Hadar is teaching you that in Mitzvos Lulav, the Din Hidor, the Din Ve'an Vehu, is Likuva, is Ma'akev. You're right, ordinarily in Kol Torah Kula, Hidor is a generic Kiyam, the person should be Misna'al Fon of Mitzvos. which dimitzes in a beautiful way. But it's not makiv. But since it says priya tadar here, which means you should take a beautiful, beautiful fruit, and Rashi does not learn to say that's a din, it's a different kind of a chavtza, so what do you mean you should do a beautiful fruit? It means you must do this mitzvah on a derech of hidur. You must do the mitzvah of derech hidur. And it's telling you hidur is likuvah in this mitzvah. But it's not hidur, it's a kemavei, it's hidur mitzvah. It's telling you the priya tadar is teaching you that in this mitzvah the Zekel Maveyu is a psal. So when Rashi tells you, if you want to know what should you write in the mission explaining this thing, should you write because of Hadar or because of Maveyu? So Hadar is the limud halachically. That's how you know that it's the psal. But if you want to know, so what is the psal is because it's not Maveyu. Psal is not Maveyu. This is the Inan mitzvah Mudara, so it's Maveyu. This is, you need to know the mitzvah, this is Anveyu. But I'm saying Rashi doesn't mean, even though he said the chsiv Anveyu, he's referencing what the mitzvah of Adar says. But the source, the way I know that that's the ma'akev here, is because of Hadar. But the ad halachically, what's wrong? Halachically, why am I not yotze? What's wrong with it? It's not because it's not a beautiful object, because who cares? It's still lulav. But the answer is no, because I'm not doing Anveyu. And here, the other teaches me that the Hidar Mitzvah is the Likuvah. But that Tosa says, really? But you see by Agad, which is the same Mitzvah of Lulav, and you see it's not true, it's not Likuvah. It's not Likuvah. Because you see this, then you have to bind it, because that came on Vayu. And if you don't do it, you're still Yotzei. So it's a nice theory, but that doesn't fly. Can we answer that question? So the question is, so how can we answer that last question? Tosa is Kasha. So how do you differentiate between by Agad, where you see it's Din of Anveyu, you see it's not Ma'akev, yet by Hayavesh, you're saying it's possible because you need Anveyu, and it is Ma'akev. Okay, so Danny's saying good, is that yeah, even if it's Ma'akev, what does that mean? You need the $1 million Esrog? That's not, even if you're saying it's Yerus HaKasa, which is telling you that then the Hidur Mitzvah is Likuva here, but what does that mean, Likuva? You can't say, so they say Hidor, binding it. Binding it makes it look very nice. Okay, fine, but if I don't bind it, so it doesn't look super nice. But it's still very nice. So it's a Kiyam, I mean, a Giyot Infinitum. So how could you ever say that Hidor is Ma'akev if it's subject to variation of degree? So the answer is, when you say Hidor is Ma'akev, it just means that if something is antithetical to Hidor, that's a posel. The nature of the Ikov of Hidor, the way in which Hidur will be Ma'akev is that the part of the mitzvah is that it's Hidur mitzvah. Zekem Aveyu is like built into the mitzvah. How so? Halachically it expresses itself that if you contradict the Din Hidur, then now that's going to be psal. If you take a lulav hayavesh, a disgusting lulav, since Anveyu, Hidur, is built into the mitzvah of lulav, so that's it's a posel if you take something which contradicts Hidur. So it doesn't mean you have to have the highest level of Hidur, but the baseline level of Hidur is that you don't have a pagam. That's just like the baseline level. Baseline level is that it's not ugly. And Yavesh is a psul Hidur. So we say it's Ma'akev, it means it's a psul Hidur. Normal mitzvos, so Hidur mitzvah is a mitzvah, but if you do it ugly, it's not a psul. Look, a Sefer Torah, if it's ugly, I mean it's ugly, but the bottom line is, if it's kosher, it's kosher. Plus it's possible that it's Ben Simon. It's possible, it's possible. But when it comes to, but there's no psal, it's just lacking the highest lack of Hidur. It's not going to be psal. But yet, but here, that's what it's teaching you, is that that when you say it's Ma'akev, the nature of the Ikov is that it's a posel. It's a posel when the Hidur is contradicted. And that's it. And then all that's the baseline level of Hidur is it's an exclusion of view of ugly things, but an ugly is also is much easier to quantify, to give halachic objectify than saying beautiful. It has to be beautiful. Well, what does that mean? It goes in Lashir. It could keep going more and more beautiful, but an ugly you could put qualities, say it's dried out. Right, or it's the top is cut off, or whatever. I mean, each one of the things. I mean, you can study the psulim. But there are objective properties of a psul. But I mean, you say a beautiful asrog, I mean, it's going to be hard to describe exactly what you mean by a beautiful Esrog. I mean, you say it's bumpy, it's Eva, but I mean, there's no way, it's kind of like goes by the eye, there's no way to quantify it. But Mumim, a Mum, is a postel. It under my Mum contradicts, like dried out, or whatever, blemishes, whatever they are, contradicted then either. Okay, I just want to add one point, which is, I'm not sure if it bothers you or not, but I think it's, I think it makes sense that if you want to know, so, I mean, according to everybody, however you formulate it halakhically, there's a din, a hidor in this mitzvah is more outstanding than in all other mitzvahs. Whether it's the chatzos intrinsically hidor, or that you say that the din of hidor, that the gavra of doing zekin aveyu is likuva. I mean, you don't have this type of thing in ordinary mitzvahs, and that's the limit of hadar. So just as philosophically, I think the idea, I mean, it's hard to know for sure. I mean, they have different ideas. But the idea which makes sense to me is the idea that the mitzvah of Lulav Nesrog is Shavach. The Gram talks about it a lot. I think a lot of people talk about it. Sebechina talks about it. The idea is that it's a time of the harvest, and you're taking in all the produce that God gave us, and you're taking the idea of these minim, are like the great minim of Eretz Yisrael. There's the Gram talks about this. It smells good, and it's beautiful, and it tastes good. I mean, there's certain choice minim of Eretz Yisrael, and you're using them, you're taking them before God and giving Shavach, and you say, Odu Hashem Kitov Kilom Chasta, you use them and take them in Halel, and you're shaking them in different directions, showing that God is the source of all these things. You know, the person who's the one who is in control of the north and the south and the east and the west. I mean, the idea of the mitzvah of lulav, the mitzvah of you're using these as vehicles of Shavach Hashem. Look what God gave us. You know, so it's a pasuk, I think. Oz Yiran Notzeiyar. The Yatzeiyar should will sing out. So I think the limud is Oz Yiran Nubatzeiyar. You will give Shavach. We're using the Yatzeiyar. Using the trees and the vegetation. So the idea of the mitzvah is the mitzvah of Shavach. So the thing is, when you're using these as vehicles of Shavach, and the Torah chose select minim because they're appropriate for Shavach, so if you're going to choose ugly things, you understand it's not very good Shavach. And the idea of beautiful things, as part of the whole mitzvah, is that you're giving Shavach with these objects. So the idea that they're beautiful is part of that's why they were chosen, and therefore, of course, therefore halachically, the din hidor, and then a beauty was incorporated into the mitzvah. Machlokas, as we do Rashi and Tosas, is how was it incorporated. Actually, the definition of the chatzor is just taking a generic idea of adorning mitzvahs and making that leikuvah. You know what I mean? So again, I'm holding it to the end, because I think the halachic definitions are fine without it, but it kind of like would leave, it kind of is a little bit bothersome. You know, just, it's like, okay, fine, here it's different, because here it's leikuvah. So is there any sense to that? I mean, you could look, he says the Oskos, and that's it. And halachically, that is it. But, I mean, I'm not so sure. I mean, the idea that it's Shavach is part of the halachic structure as well. So it's not, you know, I don't know if this is like even, you know, it's like abstract, tamam, you know, for speculation. I mean, you'll see. I mean, I think if you do the sugyas, Shavach is definitely part of it. So, you know, it kind of gives a sense to what we're doing. Okay? Okay, good. So that's that. I mean, I think we may come back to this discussion. I mean, it's Rashi Tosfos. Keep it in mind. Don't forget. Because you'll see there will be further discussion, which I think we'll make use of this Rashi Tosfos. Soon enough. You don't have to hold it that long. Maybe even this week. We'll see. But it's going to come up again. Okay. So, so let's do the Ron, right? So the Ron is talking about, the question is when the lulav gets on, I guess, how should we call it? It gets fanned out, right? Fanned out. So the leaves become the tops of the leaves become detached from the shadra, from the spine. But the bottoms of the leaves remain attached. So it fans out. It becomes like a fan. Okay, you know, they have them sometimes, they hang them on walls like that, you know, whatever. So the saying is, that's kasher. Okay? Because, so that's the Tanakhama holds, because it's roi, even though it's kapos, which is down, but it's roi to bind it. As long as it's fit to bind it, you don't have to actually bind it. Okay? You don't have to actually bind it. Right? As long as it's fit. I mean, if it's not fit to bind, it's locked in that way, it's hardened, then it's spread out, then it's fossil, because you can't say it's kapos. And also, if it's actually totally detached from it, then also it's not good. They actually separate it off. The fact that you can just separate them, attach them together afterwards with the rope, I mean, it's totally separate. But as long as they're attached and they lend themselves to winding up, then that's kashrus kapos. And that's the color roi labila. Okay. But that's not kapos. Rabbi Yehuda says no. He says no, you chayev to bend it. You chayev to actually bind it. Because it says kapos. Right? It says kapos mamash. Right? You need him, so you need it to be actually bound. It's not enough if it's just roi to bind. Okay, and he says this is not contingent at all on the machlokas of whether you have to bind up the lulav or not, because that's a question of binding the lulav together with anadas and arava, but not on its own. Different discussion. So we said, why is that true? Of course, and why is he even bringing that up? But I mean, I guess primarily we have what's on machlokas. I mean, I guess just take them one at a time, right? One at a time. I guess take Tana Kama and then just to figure out Rabbi Yehuda, you know. Yeah, okay, so Danny's saying good. It's a din in the chafza that has a property, the identity of being like a bound object. Now, an object is bound, so it could be in a condition where, so to speak, its bindedness is manifest, so to speak, or it's expressed, or it could be an unexpressed. So you could open it up, you could close it up. But as long as the object lends itself to being in a condition of, you could just put a rope around it and it's expressing its bindedness, so then the object is really, its nature is really a bound object. It just has different states, so there's a condition of being spread out. But who cares? There's underlying the identity of the chatzah is really a bound chatzah. It just looks spread out because there's a part of it. It's only attached to the bottom and it could pan out. But as long as it's roi, the chatzah is two states. So you say that its underlying nature that it's bound, it has a different condition. But that's bound. That's defined as bound. Right? Means you don't define the chatzah based upon the condition which it's in. Because it's a temporary condition. You can take a rope or not take a rope. If it's stuck that way, then it's defined as a spread, as an open object. Okay, then, but if it's like an object which opens and closes, so then it's very nature, so you define it as it's bound, and it just sometimes you open it up. I mean, I think this idea is like a bound object. So the other thing is that in a certain sense, bound is like a condition, it's like a tied up, but at the same time, it's a definition of the chafza. Right? It's a kapos tmam, that's the definition of the chafza. So how do you deal with the fact that one definition of chafza, on the other hand, binding seems to be like a state? So the answer is that it means it's an object which lends itself to binding. Okay, it's not actually the actual condition of being bound, because it's the definition of the chafza can't change from minute to minute. So rather, it means it's an object which lends itself to binding. Like a lulav is an object which lends itself to binding. It's a bound object. So the bound object, has the property of bound, even if it's not currently bound. But it's the type of an object which partakes of which lends itself to binding. Okay, it's a property of the chafta. So the way it says it is bound, but it doesn't have to actually be bound because the object doesn't change when you stop and you unbind it. Same object, as opposed to if it's like stuck. Locked open, that's not a good one, so to bind it. I mean, I'm not sure what the word would be, like a bound object, a bindable object, I guess. An object would lend itself to a binding. Okay, but this is the definition of a chafza, the condition of whether I take a rope or don't take a rope can change the chafza. So it's identifying of a chafza. So look, maybe it would be a mitzvah or something if you wanted to, to bind it, whatever. But it's just showing you that it's defined the chafza. Chafza is a chafza is bound, so it's a chafza. So if I don't bind it, so what? Yeah, it sounds like it's like the idea by lula, by the mencha. It is belula v'shamen, so it means mixed with oil. So saying the chafza is a mixture of oil and flour. But the chafza is the same chafza whether you actually mix it or you don't actually mix it. The chafza, the identity of the chafza is the whether you actually mix it is an accidental change. The thing is that as long as it's fit to be mixed, so that's defined as a mixture. If you simply can't mix it together because it's going to all spill, it's not a mixture. You just have a flour and then you have water, you know, you have oil on top. But if it lends itself to being mixed, you say it's a mixture. Now, it's true, I may not have mixed it yet. I may not have realized, put it in the condition where the mixture-ness is manifest or is present. But the idea is that the identity, once it's in a kli, and they're both one on top of the other, and it lends itself to being mixed, and the chafza is defined as a mixture, even though it's lacking the condition. The chafza is defined by that action which could be performed, by that which could be performed, and just, you know, and which will put it in a certain condition. It's the definition of the chafza. The question is, if this is so what's the reviewer's argument? Okay, so I just want to take what Danny's saying and define a little better. That it's a din, it's not a din in the chafza, but it's a din in the maisa lakicha. That your lakicha is a lakicha of a bound object. Okay, now when you're dealing with the lakicha, well, it's like the lakicha is to a chafza, okay, to a certain object. But when you're dealing with the lakicha, so to speak, in the maisa, all that's recognized is the object insofar as it's part of the maisa. Like, you know, if you're looking at the object in the abstract, so then you say it's that which is potential is part of the identity of the object. So it's defined as a bound object. Okay, because I could bind it, so it's defined as bound. I'm defining the chafts as a conceptual definition. But if you say that the action is, I have to be taking a bound object, I don't mean I'm taking an object whose essential conceptual definition is one of bound, but I mean insofar as the action is concerned, it's bound. It's not an object which is flying around, but it's an object which is bound together. Okay? As the maisa lakicha, what registers on the maisa lakicha is the condition of the object as it's involved in the maisa. So the fact that I could bind it tomorrow is not relevant vis-a-vis the maisa. Because so far as the maisa is concerned, all that registers is the object as it relates to the maisa. And as it relates to the maisa is the state that the object is in currently, not the state that it will be in or could be in or potentially conceptually is defined as. Okay, it's so far as the action is concerned, it's the, what do I have here? Is it bound? Is it not bound? So this is a lakicha, so the thing is, the lakicha has to be a lakicha of a bound object. Your mitzvah lakicha salulav is taking an object which is tied together, not a taking of a flying around object. So it's a property in the lakicha, so then you just go, as I said, you have to tie first, because otherwise the lakicha is lacking. Like maybe just as an example, maybe let's say you say you want to have a basketball player, so you say, on this team we only have strong guys. Team of strong guys on the team, you know. So let's say you have a guy who's on the team, but he's a strong guy, but he's just an injury. So currently he's in a weakened condition, you know. But you'll say, but definitively he's a strong guy, so he belongs on the team. So it's true right now he's weak, but he's not essentially weak. He just has a condition of weakness because he had an injury, right? So insofar as so he'd be fit for the team. But if you say that this is a game. This is a game of strong guys. We're playing a basketball game, and the game it could only be a game for strong guys. Okay, so I don't care. Then if you have this guy who's in a weakened state because of his condition, so I'll say I don't care that. Yeah, tomorrow he's going to. You know, he really is strong. Because I'm just saying, insofar as the game is concerned, the guy's weak. I don't care what he is in his pure, true essence. I'm not judging what his identity is. I'm just saying, insofar as this game, this is a game, a strong game. A strong game means just needs a strong guy. A strong guy means a guy who's strong vis-a-vis this game. So his underlying state of being strong or weak is not relevant. As it just goes by his strength vis-a-vis insofar as it relates to the game. So then it's, right? So they want to qualify. So what I'm saying is that here by the lulav, its identity is a bound object. If you're looking at the chafza in the abstract, since it's roi to bind, it's defined as a bound object. But if you're saying is that the maisa has to be a taking of a bounded object, then you're only looking at the object insofar as it's involved in the maisa. And so far as the maisa is concerned, the thing is flying all over the place and spread out, wide open, so then it's maisa taking an open object. It's not maisa taking a bound object. I mean, you don't say What's interesting is what you don't say is that since the object's underlying conceptual identity is that it's a bound object, so now my lakicha is a lakicha of a bound object. You know what I mean? You don't say that. Because the lakicha doesn't necessarily involve the entire identity of the object. Lakicha is like a snapshot. And lakicha only takes on the object and it, as it exists in the framework of the lakicha. Lakicha doesn't, so to speak, doesn't interview the object and give it a whole history. It just is only concerned about the lakicha itself. It's an isolated maisa at a given moment in time. But if you tell me a property of the object, just like in a game. In a game, I can't just care about the game. I don't care about, I don't need your story. I just want to know, we're playing a game, you're a strong guy. So your story is irrelevant to me. We're just interested in this moment of time. But if you're talking about the team, you're talking about what's the identity of the guy. So you're talking about the chafza. If you tell me it's the definition of the chafza, then I don't care what the current state it's in right now. The question is, what's the nature of the chafza? So as long as the chafza can be bound, then it's the chafza. Okay, so what's the idea? So why is he bringing in Eger? Why is he bringing in Eger, Lulav Tzarech Eger? Lulav Tzarech Eger, he says, this is not totally in that machlokes, whether it's Tzarech Eger or not Tzarech Eger. Because there, he says it's that's a different meaning. That's the Lulav and Adas and Rabba. But here it's talking about the Lulav itself. So what's he saying? Yeah, okay, good. So what he's saying is that when it comes to Lulav Tzarech Eger, right, so you don't say, there's no question there. You don't say is that as long as the Lulav and Hadas and Rava are really to be bound together, so then it's okay. No one says that. Right? You say here, if it's really to be bound the Lulav, it's okay. But you don't say that the Lulav, Hadas and Rava are really to be bound together, then it's okay. Right? Because there, it's clear that's not a din l'chafza. It's clear that the Eged is not like it's a new chafza. That it's a chafza of Lulav, Hadas and Rava. They're three separate objects. Well, see, the chafta, the lulav, you say the lulav is a bound object. And therefore you'll say its state goes by what it's roi to do. But you don't say that if it's roi to bind the lulav and Hadas and Rava together, then it's one object because it's fit to bind them together. The three separate things that I could actually bind together. That definitely is a din in the Maisa Lakicha. It should be a Lakicha of Shlash Tam Yachad. Lakicha of an aguda consisting of these three things. And therefore it goes by whether they're actually bound together at the moment that I take it or they're not bound together. The fact that I could bind them together is irrelevant. Because definitely the halacha of Eger and the Lulav is not a din that it's not a din in terms of the chafta. That's definitely a din. The lakicha should be a lakicha of Shlosh Tam Yachad. You know, that's lakicha. But here, it's a machlokes, and that's the question, is does it have to be a lakicha or does it not have to be a lakicha? Does the lakicha have to be of all three together or does it not have to be a lakicha? But Here, the question is not going to do with that. Here, the question is the idea of kapos a din in the chafza's definition, in which case I don't have to actually do it? Or is it just a din in the maisa, in which case I have to actually do it? But there, definitely I have to actually do it, because there it's definitely a din in the maisa. Now, if you say, then definitely it's a din in the maisa. You can't just say it's roi to do it. It certainly wouldn't work. Yeah, let me think. Let me think. Maybe it could. I mean, I think this is the right idea, but maybe we could just pinpoint exactly what's bothering about it. But let's leave that. And unless someone has a question, you have a question? Okay. So is someone talking? I don't know. Okay. So what I'd like to do my guest tomorrow is this Tosfos Be'inan Hadar V'Laka, the bottom Tosfos. We got to do a little bit of the Gemara. Tiny bit of the Gemara. Yeah, Yantar Sheni. We can read a little bit of the Gemara. Just till the bottom of the page, maybe. Just till you see, till it mentions of Avera. Okay? Do a little bit, just so you get a feel, maybe the first line of Aman Aleph. But essentially, just finish the page in the Gemara. And then do this, you know how the Velaka Tosus. Okay? Do the entire Tosus. Okay? And hopefully we'll do that tomorrow. I mean, it's kind of tricky.
The bottom of the page.
Yeah.